Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. As we begin our study of Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, titled, Fruits Worthy of Repentance. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send letters with check or money orders to support this ministry. Send those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com. On your desktop, use the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen. And on the mobile site, use the drop-down menu. That's bbfohio.com. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, titled, Fruits Worthy of Repentance. This is part one of two. All right, if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, we're going to do our Bible study. If you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the pews. We're going to be in Luke 3. We're going to start in verse 7. Fruits Worthy of Repentance. And we'll come back to that in just a second. You just never know how loud that's going to be. An exercise in critical thinking. I tell people all the time that we are in complete support of treating the environment with respect. Amen. God created the heaven and the earth and all things therein, so we should treat everything with respect. As a matter of fact, I think you could say that we may go a little over and above what a lot of churches do because we pray for our pets. And some Baptists only believe in praying for their cars. Amen. They'll pray for their car any time, but you bring up pets and they'll say, I don't believe in praying for pets. They don't have a soul. Well, neither does your Mustang.
Got that right.
Well, now, wait.
If it's a car. So I just want to give you a little example of the climate scare that we are under. It's a money-making scam. And here's one of the proofs for those with discernment and who want to see the proof that climate change right now as it's being presented is a hoax.
Amen.
How many of you have seen these California fires out there? And they have the Getty fire and the Kincaid fire and the San Bernardino fire.
And the LA fires.
That's the new one, isn't it? The one.
Yeah, the LA fire.
Well, if I can get this to play, I just want you to see something. This was the reaction from the, that's not the reaction, that's an ad, but this is the reaction from the stars. They're going to make me watch two ads this time, wouldn't you not?
No.
There we go. Stars react to California fires. Now, these are just, these LA fires aren't no joke. Had to emergency evacuate my house. That was LeBron. This is Maria Shriver praying for everyone in the path of this terrifying destruction and on. Katie Couric praying for anyone near the Getty fire. These are all fine. It's Chris Pratt. I personally would be going to the LAFD.org to make a donation. Of course, Kathy Griffin had to get profane. But all of these comments are fine. Reese Witherspoon. So worried about all these fires in California. Thank you to all the incredible firemen. I don't know who Kristen Davis is. Do you know who that is? She's a star, evidently. Picture of what she woke up to and announcing that her children and dogs are all safe. Clark Gregg, the same way. He's in a hotel room with the family and the dogs. And we have evacuated, but we're safe. And that's all they're mentioning. Arnold Schwarzenegger, we evacuated. And he talks about the people who are going in and taking care of these fires, the first responders being true heroes. That's all true. But here's the thing, if you're paying attention, and I have no idea what that is. I am not about to sing a special. That was not. But there's your question. With all these responses, if the carbon emissions in the air right now are such a threat, Why isn't there a panic about it? You say, what do you mean? Well, you may not understand the implications of these fires. If carbon emissions are really so detrimental, why no real concern over these fires? And if you don't understand what I mean, it's just because no one's explained to you what these fires do. Here's last year in Canada from the Canadian Broadcasting. How do CO2 emissions from forest fires compare to those from fossil fuels? I'll give it to you in a gist, but you can go to their website, CBC, and look up that article. The fires in Canada were the equivalent of all the fossil fuel emissions in Canada for an entire year. Now, if that's what's threatening the survival of humanity, we all ought to be freaking out about forest fires. But they're not. Same thing last year, not even this year. Last year in California, the same thing was true. All those fires, this is NBC News, California wildfires, carbon emissions equal to a year of power pollution. Everybody was freaking out about the trees being killed and their houses burning down and having to be evacuated. Very little was freak out about the carbon emissions. Now listen, if something is killing you and it's coming from this direction and you're panicked about it and wanting to end capitalism so you can inflict a socialistic carbon tax, and then it comes from another direction, shouldn't you be just as panicked? Yeah. Wouldn't you be just as panicked if it was true? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you would. Amen. See, with discernment, anybody who's critically thinking about this stuff can see that it's really not the big deal that they're making it out to be. Yeah.
And they would start cutting the brush down so it wouldn't.
Yeah, they would go back to the conservationism of the Reagan era where they went in and cleared out the kindling so that these fires wouldn't burn. But see, that's not what it's all about. That the climate change hoax is about a carbon tax and global government.
Yep. Right.
It's not about saving the world. It's not even about saving the forest. It's about taxing you so that they can then use that tax money to build and form a world government. And if you read what they write from Al Gore on down, they all admit it if people just read it. Now, here's the scare of the decade. If you were raised, I was a kid in the 70s.
Yep.
The scare of the decade of the 70s was the new ice age.
Yep.
They scared the crap out of me as a kid and all of my friends. We had nightmares about an ice age. We thought the abominable snowman in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer commercial cartoon, we thought it was real. Because that's all we heard about. Ice age, ice age. Well, then I went into high school in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Then it changed to the ozone layer. There's a hole in the ozone layer and we're all going to die. And Reagan was to blame. Anytime there's a Republican president, he's to blame. They never blamed Carter for the ice age. It's funny, isn't it?
Amen.
Makes you think our news media is a wing of the Democrat Party, doesn't it?
Amen.
Then came the 90s and the global warming. Global warming. Global warming has scared everybody to death all over again. Well, NASA has said that there was some crazy event in the atmosphere that caused the ozone to kind of close up. What they don't tell you is that's a fluctuation that happens throughout human history. The ozone layer, like the icebergs, expand and shrink, and throughout history they've done it over and over. Before there was an industrial revolution, it happened. So it's just a big scam. And now we're in the 2000s, and it's climate change, and now it's pretty much, they don't really even want to explain it. They just want you to know that you need to start riding bicycles and walking, but they don't.
Yeah.
They don't stop flying private jets everywhere. I'm sorry, I just got to say it's true. The Obamas are full of it. The Obamas have run around telling everybody how horrible it is that we're polluting and causing such a huge carbon imprint, they call it a carbon footprint, So what do? They go out and buy a house that's like 20,000 square feet. It's going to have five times the carbon footprint that they used to have in their old house. And it's about 10 times the carbon footprint that you're going to make. Just at their house. That doesn't count all the flying that Michelle and Barack are doing. And all these Hollywood types. Just last month, they all hopped their private jets and spewed carbon everywhere by the tens of millions so they could all go to some resort and talk about how they want you to stop living with fossil fuels. You need to stop. And I showed it a couple weeks ago over in England. A bunch of them admitted it. Yeah, we're hypocrites. But still, you need to stop. That's what they say. I'm just amazed by it all. But I want you to look over Isaiah 59:4. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 59:4. And this is what happens when we're at a time of unbelief and apostasy. And even the churches are espousing this nonsense. And probably the majority of churches in existence today do not educate their people. And they espouse this stuff. And it's described here in Isaiah 59:4. If you're there, read it with me. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That's it. That's where you live today. And so you need to understand this. The majority of what's being put in so-called news media are lies. Amen. I'm not even talking about just politics. I'm talking about everything. The majority of what's being preached in pulpits and churches today are lies.
Amen.
And the majority of what parents even tell their children today are lies. Look at another one over a few pages. Isaiah and then Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. In verse 5, I have an uncle who is a Christ-rejecting fool, and he's taking his son to hell with him, telling his son to reject the idea of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. You're just a good person, you'll be okay. And all I can say is I've told him he's a fool and he needs to repent and he's taking his son to hell with him, and that's all I can tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sickening to think of parents doing that to their own children.
Mm-hmm.
In Jeremiah 9:5, read that with me. And they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. You have a twofold witness there from Isaiah and Jeremiah, and that's where we live today. And that's your current events update.
Wow.
Be up to date on how our culture right now is a culture of lies. And you have to judge everything by the truth.
Amen.
And don't let people intimidate you into bowing. Today is a day where you can be a hero by simply standing. All you have to do is stand and not bow.
So what you just said about the climate change movement kind of reminds me of the prohibition movement, where it was, we want prohibition for you, the masses, but we still want drink.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Kind of like we want climate change reform for you guys, but we still want to fly our jets and stuff.
And that's basically how socialism works. And this is all socialistic programming. Socialism is we want everybody to be equal. So what happens? Everybody is equally poor except for the elite political leaders and their families.
Was it Stalin who said everybody's equal, but some are more equal?
Some are more equal than others, yeah. And then, of course, I have to say this. You got to get Rand Paul's book on socialism. He just put out last month. And I can't remember what it's called. Is it An Answer to Socialism or something like that? I actually own it, but I can't remember the title. But Denmark and Scandinavian countries, you hear them, they're not socialist countries. So when you see over there that things aren't like it is in Venezuela, it's because they're not really socialist.
In the 80s, they got pretty close.
Well, they learned their lesson.
There's a difference between social programs.
Right. Get the book and it'll go into detail about that. All right, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Luke study. Father, we thank you for everyone who's got an open Bible and ready to learn, including those watching the live stream, those who might watch this on the replay on the internet or on the radio, listen along. And we just thank you for every one of those folks. There are a number of people who live in areas where they can't even find a Bible-believing church. And we just thank you for our for the ability and the opportunity to at least be there for them and teaching and preaching the Word of God. And we just ask your Holy Spirit, help us as we learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, as I said, we're in Luke chapter 3. Verse 7 is where we'll pick up. And if you would, I'll start in verse 7, and then you jump in and read the even-numbered. Even. Is that, did I tell a joke?
It's funny.
Okay. I love it when I'm funny. I'm not even trying. You jump in the even-numbered verses. I'll read verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Quite a book, isn't it?
Amen.
John would not be popular in our day. Look at what we started out with there in verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, It's so wonderful to see you here today. You're all so beautiful. You're lovely just the way you are. You should love yourselves and esteem yourselves. Is that what John said?
No.
Look at how he welcomes his congregation. Oh, generation of vipers. Means your mother's a snake. Let that sink in. This is the real world, folks. This is what John the Baptist, he has a crowd coming out to him as he's baptizing people, and he calls them a bunch of sons of snakes. Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's quite a welcome committee. I used to go into this church. I used to belong to this church. And I just wanted to sit outside until the preaching started, because the preaching for once in a while wasn't too bad. But you go in there and they'd sing these cheesy songs, you know, the 7-Eleven stuff, hands in the air. La, 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 same words over and over. Seven words, 11 times. And so then the song leader would say, Jesus loves you and so do I. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you and so does Jesus. And everybody, I love you and so does Jesus. It'd be all this sappy stuff. I was saying, it's not that it's not true, but they do it every week. And they would, everything was so dripping with sap. And it's like, come on, man. And then the preacher would start, and like I said, sometimes it wasn't too bad. But what do you think would have happened in that church? They were packing them out, man. Almost 350 people on average. 350 people, and this was out in a small town. Why do you think they went to that church? Because people love that junk.
They love that junk. Having itching ears. The Bible says they gather to themselves teachers. See? It's the people that's the problem. It's not the preachers. There are all kinds of... I mean, there's not as many as I wish there were, I'd like to see, but there are some good preachers out there. But hardly any of them get a crowd. Because people don't, they don't go to church for that. They want to be told how wonderful they are. Yep. I was telling Jenny that a lot of these people say, I go to church to hear something uplifting. I have the negative stuff all week long. They're a bunch of liars. They sit and listen to WCVO all week long. They put in their Christian contemporary sap all week long. They have their little calendars with their Bible verses taken out of context to tell them how wonderful they are. All week long, they get sap, 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 and when they come on Sunday, they want it on doubly thick. And that's where why the churches that are packed today, if you go visit them, that's what you'll get. People don't want... You think they're going to come in here and the preacher look at them and say, you bunch of snakes! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then they look at him and say, isn't it wonderful to be here? That's the real world. I say, imagine if I preach like that. You know, I can get direct and I'll be on, but I'm nothing like John the Baptist. Nothing like John the Baptist. We have a small crowd as it is. You imagine if I preached like John the Baptist? Be me and Jenny and two or three of you in a live stream. That'd be all we'd have. Let's refresh our memory about Jesus. Brother Stephen hit the nail on the head this morning when he said that Matthew 23 is my favorite chapter in the New Testament. It's actually not my favorite. My favorite's 1 Corinthians 15. But this is right up there. Matthew 23, if you want to turn there. He covered the first 9 verses in our Sunday school, Romans Open Bible Study this morning. We're going to jump down to verse 14 where it gets real nice and positive. This is the Jesus book called Your Best Life Now. This is when he put out his book, Promise Keepers. What do you call that? What was the Rick Warren? Purpose-Driven Life by Jesus. This is his version of the purpose-driven life. It's terrible. The purpose-driven one?
I read the first chapter.
I read it all, including where he told people they shouldn't care about the second coming and Bible prophecy. That's in there, purpose-driven life. Read it, or, you know, read it for educational purposes only. But verse 14, of course, verse 13 tells us who he's talking to, and then says verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, Stephen said that Mariah could do a real good dramatic reading on this. I probably ought to have her read it. But for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. So Jesus starts off by damning the people he's talking to. Amen. That's what's there. Read it. Look down in your Bible. That's the real Jesus. This isn't the fake Jesus that's in the Christian bookstores. This isn't the fake Jesus on Christian TV. This isn't the fake Jesus on Christian radio. This isn't the fake Jesus in your NIV. Amen. This isn't the fake Jesus that you've been told wouldn't ever send anyone to hell. Amen. This is the real live Jesus. Amen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 15, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made you, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Can you imagine the wonderful response he's getting about this point? You know who these people are? These are the people who end up making sure he's killed. The congregation that Jesus preaches to kills him. If you want to be like Jesus, and you're doing it right, most people are going to want to kill you.
Yeah.
That's real Christianity. Yep. That's why if you ever pick up a history book, you'll see that Christians have been slaughtered for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Hurting anybody? No. Didn't hurt a fly. Didn't even punch back. Why were they killed? Because of that. Because real Christians preach the truth and it gets them killed. Yeah. It'll cost you your friends. Mm-hmm. It'll cost you a lot of blood relatives.
Yeah.
It'll cost you being able to attend the churches with the pizza restaurant in the back. You know, and the cafe with a barista, what do they call it, a barista. And you'll have to come here and fix your own coffee. I know, suffering for Jesus. Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. In other words, they didn't care about the spiritual things. They were all about the money. I worked for a Christian organization one time, and they had big letters, glory to God. And all the employees who worked there said they should change it to say, glory to gold. Because that's what they were all about. And that's what these Pharisees... pick up verse 17, let's read a little bit. Read with me. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Now pick up there in verse 19. Read it with me. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? On and on. Let's go down to verse 24. Read that with me. Ye blind guides which strained at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. And you go on and on. It keeps going and going. Verse 27, he tells them they're full of dead men's bones. The preaching today says, you're wonderful. You don't need to change. God made you special, and you're so wonderful, he just had to have you, so he came and died for you. Now, I've said this, I'll say it over and over, you're going to hear it the rest of your lives until the rapture or I die, if you keep coming here, and that is, you are a wicked, 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 evil, nasty, disgusting person who deserves to be in hell right now.
Amen.
And what makes God so great is in spite of you, not because of you, in spite of you, he came and died and shed his blood to pay for your sins. Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
And you're not.
Amen.
I'm not wonderful. I'm wicked. Before I was saved at the age of 19, I sinned enough the previous few years that I deserved to be in hell 10 times over. And yet he saved me. Why? Because I'm wonderful? No, because he's wonderful.
Amen.
That's how wonderful God is. And you can be, today, I can tell anybody in this room, you can be a flat out thief. You can be a flat out liar. You can be a whore. You can have diseases right now because of your lifestyle. You can be totally disgusting. But right now in this moment, God will save you.
Amen.
His blood was shed for all of your sins, and if you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again, at that very moment, you will be standing before God as though you had never, ever sinned.
Amen.
What an amazing thing. Now you know why we have more than 500 songs in our hymn book, and that only scratches the surface. He's amazing. That's why we sing about amazing grace. He's amazing. It's not about grace, some woman named Grace. It's about Jesus. His grace is amazing. Amen? So there you are. You're re-familiarized with the true Jesus, but most Americans don't like that Jesus. Most Americans want a Jesus who loves their sin. Most Americans want a Jesus who loves their sin. When the Bible says your sin makes God want to puke,